And we'll start by heading over to the Detroit Institute of Arts. They've got a brand new exhibit. It just opened today. It's called Black is Beautiful, the Photography of Kwame Braithwaite. Large-scale photography from Kwame. It was taken mostly from the 1960s during one of the most influential cultural movements of that time, the Black is Beautiful movement, when black women and men turned to natural hairstyles and African-inspired clothing. This is the first major exhibition dedicated to Kwame Braithwaite's work. He was a vital figure during that second Harlem Renaissance of the 1960s. Nancy Barr is the curator of photography over at the Detroit Institute of Arts. I recently got to sit down with her to talk about the importance of this exhibit, why people should visit, and who Kwame is and why his work matters today.
Kwame was a photographer. He's still alive, actually. He lives in New York City, but he's not shooting that much anymore. He's 83. But he started photographing back in the late 1950s. He was really interested in photographing and promoting jazz. And he went to jazz clubs in Harlem. He was from the Bronx. But he loved to shoot jazz performances and kind of be in the moment and express that live moment of performing. Photographs in the show of Miles Davis, Max Roach, and Abby Lincoln. So he really started out as a jazz photographer and started out as a hobby, but he ended up becoming a photojournalist, shooting a lot for the Amsterdam News and other black-owned newspapers in New York City. And then what the show's really got a lot of is really wonderful photographs of the Grand Asa models. Kwame helped found the Grand Asa Models, which was one of the earliest, if not the first, black modeling troops in the U.S. And he believed that he and his friends and his group of colleagues who were part of an organization, really a social club called the African Jazz Art Society and Studios, they all believed that blacks should express themselves and self-represent in ways that were not according to mainstream culture. So he was important in promoting that with his photography and showing there was a whole different beauty aesthetic, black beauty aesthetic, that was grounded in natural hairstyles and beautiful deep skin tones, as well as African-inspired clothing that a lot of the models made and modeled in these naturally shows that he would do annually in Harlem.
When you look at his work from those jazz clubs, what makes his style, his composition, important or worthwhile to have in a museum?
Yeah, I think that the fact that, you know, he was there trying to sort of capture the essence of a performance. There's a great picture of Max Roach behind a drum kit. You know, who was just such a phenomenal jazz musician. And, you know, I think that a wonderful portrait of Abby Lincoln singing
softly, as in a morning sunrise, the light of love comes stealing into a newborn day.
And there's those performative moments that I think a lot of people are used to seeing with music photography, but there's also a great picture of somebody just kicking back with a pipe, listening to a performance in a club. And I think, you know, those sort of more contemplative moments are kind of characteristic of what he could do with photography. So you feel like you're right there in the moment listening to that music. I think he has a way of really getting you to see things from his perspective and feel those moments in time, whether it's listening to jazz in a club or standing on the streets watching a Marcus Garvey Day parade with beautiful Grand Asa models driving by in a car. You feel like you're right there in the streets. It actually makes me feel like I want to go to New York.
The photos in this exhibit, some of them are really large scale. You don't often see photography at that scale. What effect does that have for the viewer?
I think large scale photography, which has really come into the norm for a lot of museums and galleries, has a way of competing on that scale that's monumental, like with large scale paintings. So we have 5 by 5 foot portraits, fashion portraits of some of the Grand Asa models. His wife was a Grand Asa model, Sickelo Braithwaite. And I think they're just really incredible, monumental testaments to, like, black beauty, black culture, this particular time in the 60s, that a lot of people will see sort of this retro culture movement. But I think that, you know, the photographs are large scale, and they're very impactful when you walk into the gallery and you see them at that scale. So I think that visitors, you got to come and see it for yourself and kind of experience for yourself. And he was just a masterful technician with lighting, composition. He understood texture and skin tone, and it's really in how to use color really vibrantly and to accentuate black beauty and black features. So I think that it'll really be a surprise for people to come in and see these big, large-scale photographs.
Isn't he coming up in the 1950s at a time when photography isn't even really taken that seriously as an artistic medium?
Yeah, I think that's a great point, Ryan, because photography has really had to make its name for itself over the years in art museums and galleries. And in the 50s, you had places like the Museum of Modern Art doing photography exhibitions. They were really the first museum in the country to have a dedicated department of photography. But they weren't showing black artists at MoMA back then, and photography was really part of a whole scene that was very aestheticized types of photographic image making, some street photography. There were a lot of New Yorkers who were shooting in the streets, and they were mostly white photographers. So that was the work that, if it did get into MoMA, like The Family of Man was a big show at MoMA in the 1950s and included a lot of photography, street photography, and sort of showed the humanity of culture around the world. But largely, you didn't have a lot of black artists showing at major museums or in galleries. So it really was a time when, yeah, photography wasn't really considered an art form by a lot of people in the mainstream. And Kwame just, again, fell in love with photography, wanted to capture jazz performances, and wanted to promote, you know, black culture and black history. So he really came up at a time when, you know, there wasn't a lot of respect for the medium as an art form. So it's great to see his legacy come full circle in an art museum like the Detroit Institute of Arts.
You know, we talked about the 1950s, not a lot of representation of black artists in museums. And now, in the past 5 years, we've seen museums really try to bring more of that representation. Is Kwame part of this wave of older black artists finally getting more of a due in more mainstream museum culture?
Oh, definitely. I think that the scholar behind a lot of the work for this show was Tanisha C. Ford. She teaches at the City University of New York, and she wrote the essay for the book, which is fantastic thing for your library. But I think that, you know, so much of these histories, there's so many people have been marginalized by mainstream culture, by mainstream interpretations of history. There's so much work to do. And she worked at the Schomburg Collection researching the show. So and researching the work that she did behind the Braithwaites and the work that they did with the Grand Asa models. So I think that, yeah, the time has long been overdue, and long been overdue at the DIA. So we're all playing catch up, and, you know, I hate to say that, but this is just really a great moment to have the dialogues and to see the new history, the new research, see these artists being unearthed and being brought forward, being put into exhibitions that we can all enjoy. This show's traveling all over the U.S., so it'll have some reach. And we're also doing it in conjunction with another exhibition that'll open in December called The New Black Vanguard, which features 15 young black photographers who've been shooting fashion and magazines and portraiture now for a while. So there's going to be some continued dialogue back and forth between those shows, and we hope that people will come in and kind of see what's going on, how these folks are kind of fighting mainstream culture and doing new things and expanding the narratives, which is really important right now.
DIA curator of photography, Nancy Barr, speaking with me about the exhibit Black is Beautiful, the photography of Kwame Braithwaite. Fantastic touring exhibition opens today at the DIA. It's going to be there through January 16th, so you got some time. Make your reservation, get over there. A lot of the stuff that Kwame was aiming to achieve in the 1960s with the Grandassa models in Harlem, really similar to something that was happening here in Detroit. Musicians like Phil Ranlin and Wendell Harrison from Tribe Records were creating music and magazines and other forms of media to celebrate black ownership and culture. So I wanted to play some of their music for you. Phil Ranlin, Wendell Harrison, from the record A Message from the Tribe, right now on Culture Shift.